Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman, Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two of Dusty and Cam in the mornings. Thank you for being with us. Got a lot of texts and good feedback on the textual relations today. Lane Johnson, the Patriot Way, is fear-based organization. He wants to be happy and win one Super Bowl rather than win five. I think he'd take five, though, if he could win them. Just throwing that out there. Hey, Lane.
I think five's better than
five
one.
Super Bowls?
Five better than one?
Last time I checked.
I checked that, too.
Last time I checked.
Five rings better than one.
Yeah. Well, we got bigger fish to fry because the Blazers haven't won one ring in quite some time. It is 7:05.
What's hot?
Smoking.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Cause you're hot and you're cold.
The Portland Trailblazers fall last night, 115-96 to the Utah Jazz. But on Friday night, the Blazers got the weekend started with a win over the Sacramento Kings, where Damian Lillard pulled a CJ. He became only the third player since the NBA-ABA merger to have 50 or more points in 30 or less minutes, joining CJ and Klay Thompson.
So did CJ pull a Dame or Dame pull
a
CJ?
No. CJ did it first.
Oh, so who's first?
CJ pulled a Klay.
Who pulled a Dame?
And that, no.
I'm confused.
Klay was the first person to do it.
So confused.
So Klay Thompson, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, the only guys in NBA history to do it 50 points in 30 minutes or less. And he did it on a scorching 8 of 13 from 3 and 16 of 26. Neither Dame or CJ played the fourth quarter in their 50-point game.
Did you watch that game at all?
I did.
You probably watched it in depth.
Full disclosure. I fell asleep during the game at one point.
That is the most saddest franchise I've seen in sports in quite some time.
Sacramento?
There was
nobody
there. I would bet less than 2,000 people were there.
May I point your attention to the Cleveland Browns?
No. No, not even close.
You think the Kings are sadder than the Cleveland Browns?
Have you been to Sacramento? By the way, it is an armpit.
I have been.
It's the armpit
of Cleveland.
Yeah, I've been to Cleveland. It's way nicer. Wait, have you been to Cleveland?
The Riverwalk is pretty nice there.
Have you been to Cleveland?
In Sacramento, the Riverwalk is pretty nice.
Have you been to Cleveland?
No, I haven't.
Cleveland's not that bad.
I'm okay with that.
It's not that bad.
The river caught on fire.
Is not good. And by the way, this is just shots fired at Sacramento.
They got a great arena.
They do. Well, they had a great arena because they had to invest in the garbage that. I mean, it's embarrassing. That's a really bad franchise. It's a nice little arena.
I'm not saying that it is not.
It's a really bad franchise, and I was impressed that Dame went for 50 on a really bad basketball team against a really bad team.
The conspiracy theorists can take a seat after Terry Stotts showed consistency in pulling Dame for the entire fourth quarter as opposed to letting him go for 60, and Dame after the game said, I'd rather score 50 with character than go out and chase 60 in a game, even though they almost had to bring him back in for a quick minute, but they didn't.
50 with character or 60 with non-character?
Yeah.
Why not go for 75?
I know. But remember the conspiracy was that Stotts pulled CJ because he didn't want Dame's record to fall to CJ McCollum, and he wanted to keep Dame happy. I didn't buy into it then, and after Dame gets pulled short of the franchise record, I think that is a good spot and smart move to go show consistency.
Yeah, this person says the Riverwalk's a nice place to get mugged.
No. Yeah,
we said Sacramento's in California. I know. I said it's the armpit, practically.
Yeah.
It's a high point.
I don't know. It was okay when I went there the last time. I had a good time. They got bars and restaurants better than what we have on
Again,
our river.
Again, this is a perfect example of the Blazers being able to do what the Blazers do versus lower-tier talent. When Dame can stomp on somebody like that and get hot and make shots from 38 feet like he was shooting. I mean, it was incredible. That's a bad basketball team. I mean, Zebo and Willie Cauley-Stein are your best players.
Yeah. I think one thing, though, that we get lost in those is Dame and CJ are special. And we get so lost in defensively, we get caught up with how they may have deficiencies or how they do have deficiencies on the defensive end of the floor. But that clouds kind of how special they are offensively and
incredible.
What those two guys can do. Yeah. Because they are two of three players ever to get 50 and 29 minutes. And they do it. They score so – they're so gifted in scoring.
But that's what's so maddening, Dusty. It's so maddening to know that you have that good of a backcourt. It's it's just – you just go, gosh, can we get a big and a wing? Can I get a 3-and-D guy that can come in and compliment these guys? Do you know how good this franchise could be with two more pieces? I know we're saying we're one piece away. It's Jusuf Nurkić. Whatever. It's not Jusuf Nurkić right now because he's not playing. He's hurt. He's a good player. Good quality player. To look at this team in and out is the same damn conversation we have week in and week out, game in and game out. The backcourt is fantastic. We're going to say that for another 5 years. If they don't find a way to bring in somebody else that can create offensively, I'm excellent at being able to analyze a backcourt that can score like them. Everybody can. Everybody across the country, Neil O'Shea. There's so many teams that love to have a backcourt. That's great. You know what else so many teams would like to have too? One more guy.
Well, and that goes back to our discussion that we had on Friday when we were playing the audio clips of, you know, Neil O'Shea at his press conferences years ago where he's saying, well, hey, maybe we got ahead of our skis, but years ago we're playing audio of projecting at 54 wins with Al-Farouq Aminu and Evan Turner at the 3 and the 4. And then the, you know, we're this close and we got these pillars. It comes down to the Blazers have not done enough to surround those guys with talent.
No.
And they are so skilled offensively that their defensive deficiencies can be masked if you have the right pieces around them. And that's where, you know, when Neil O'Shea says we're not going to break up Dame and CJ, he has every right to say that because they are one of the best backcourts in the NBA.
Okay.
But where he and the Blazers organization deserve a little bit of flack from the fan base is the fact that they haven't done enough to surround them with good talent. And where they have paid exorbitant amounts of money is to guys that just don't fit what they need on that roster.
It's maddening because what is maddening? It's like saying, I know every day that I'm going to get Dame and T. I'm going to get the best from those guys, and they're going to be offensive juggernauts. They're going to be ones that carry this franchise. I know every day I'm bald. It's like just saying, you're bald every day. I know it. I know it. It's the most consistent thing. I know I'm going to wake up. I'm going to be bald, but you're going to wake up, you're going to watch the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're going to know that Dame and CJ are going to give you this. Where else are you going to get something? It's so maddening to watch this team and see the investment in players that are not giving back what these two guards deserve. Is it management's fault? Is it coaching? Is it okay to be average? Is it okay to be an 8 through a 5 seed? Is that okay?
Mm-mm.
Well, is it better than being Sacramento?
Well, yeah.
Is it better than being here's the mediocre question. Is that when you watch these two play, they're so good at what they do, how frustrating would it be to be able to put yourself in at the end of a game and drive out in your car and go, if we could just have, because I'm thinking of Dame and CJ from their point of view. No one's on the inside of them in their heart to know truthfully if they feel just as frustrated as we are as fans and we watch it.
I think so, because I mean, you look at what teams have been able to do. It's not like there isn't offensively gifted backcourts that and teams that have surrounded them with talent. Look no further than what Toronto's done with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Those are two really nice pieces that they have, and they built an entire roster around them that now has the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Bradley Beal and John Wall in Washington. You know, if injuries don't derail them this year, like Wall's out, what, another 4 weeks or so, you know, they're the four seed in D.C. And in, I know it's in the Eastern Conference, but you're looking at right now Toronto is ahead of Boston and Cleveland. You know, you look at Washington's just a half game back of Cleveland for the three seed and just, what, a full game back of Boston from being the two seed. Like, those are two very gifted teams that have very gifted guards who are, to an extent, deficient on the defensive end, but they found the pieces and they found bigs that are physical, or, and they kind of place them together and they mask what they do on the defensive end and they make them shine offensively. You know, I mean, it's not like you can say you can't win a lot of games and be a top four seed in the NBA with guards like Dame and CJ.
We don't need to analyze in depth why Dame and CJ work. They just do.
Yes.
What we as fans and we as people need to see is trying to get better, trying to do something other than treading water with this franchise, either starting now, moving forward, whatever it is. There needs to be some sort of push. There needs to be a sell-off. There needs to be some sort of movement to create space for either a free agent, some way, somehow. This mediocre payoff, because we mentioned in our early in the show in the 6 o'clock hour, you don't have enough money to pay Ed Davis. Ed Davis, your best bench player. And yes. You don't have money to pay him? You don't have any way to keep him?
Probably not this offseason.
It's infuriating. And I can't, I'm not trying to lash out at you, but I think that's dumb. I think it's frustrating. It's disappointing. No, I'm not saying it's you, but that's a stupid way to be able to say that this organization is failing if you can't keep your best bench player on your roster. It's failing.
I think what you're getting at is, with the Portland Trailblazers, the wait-and-see approach has run its course.
It's no longer acceptable.
You're
a professional franchise. You're trying to get better. You have hundreds of millions of dollars at your disposal. Your excuse of a bad place, no free agents want to go, we use it. There's no excuses. You don't get to sit there and say, a process, 3 to 5 year rebuild. Every year, you have to compete. I know it sounds easier said than done, but the complacency in some of these teams and organizations, it's frustrating.
Waiting for guys to develop is gone with Portland.
When are we going
to
develop? You're just going to wait out LeBron and wait out the Golden State Warriors? All right, see you when I'm 50.
Ed may be.
Because Dame and CJ won't be here.
Ed may be getting paid after this season, but still got Myers for 2 more years, you know?
Right.
That's what's hot and cool on the fan, and it's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Nearly 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver. You won't have to wait on Area, your local train comfort specialist. It's hard to stop a train. The Colts have found their man, and the Seahawks may be in a precarious situation. Dustin Cam on the fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, one last thing on the Jazz Blazers game. What did you think of Utah's uniforms last night?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I either like them or you don't. I'm indifferent with these uniforms now. I don't have any. They're crazy. They're better than classic late 90s with the cityscape in them. I don't like those. So I like
Jazz
these.
Never had cityscape. Oh, they had the mountains
on them?
The mountains,
you know what I
talking about. Those were ugly.
Yeah, those were heinous. I don't mind them.
People absolutely obliterated them on social media last night, but I like them. Because,
they're not that bad.
I became a Houston Astros fan during the creamsicle days, so it reminds me of those. So I don't mind them at all.
No.
They grow on you as the game goes on.
I agree. I think I like the word is different. Like a little different.
Yeah. Well, faded from orange down to black.
There's been some cool ones this year. I really like Cleveland's.
Do you like the land ones?
I liked it. I love that gray, that wolf gray.
That's cool. Sure.
Miami certainly has come around.
Yes, the Miami Vice. Is, even though they have teal, you like them.
I did.
The Mavs ones are ugly.
I haven't seen the Mavs ones yet.
Neon green and black. They wore them against the Blazers.
Okay.
They're neon green and they say
D-A-L. Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah. I remember those. Yeah. I like Nike going out on the limb.
I do too. But the Blazers, Rip City ones they wore last night, pretty sweet as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on from that then. Frank Wright is the new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. This time, the Colts did not say that they had a new head coach hired until they tweeted out a photo of Frank Reich actually signing the contract.
Probably a good idea from now on.
They found their guy, Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich, new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. He's only been coaching for 10 years. He has, it's eerily similar, the parallels between the guy he worked for, Doug Peterson in Philly, and Frank Reich. As they both came from great head coaching trees who they didn't call plays as the offensive coordinator, but they were the offensive coordinator, had only been coaching for, you know, 10 or fewer years in the NFL. And Frank Reich actually has the distinction of he has been fired by Indy just 4 seasons ago. He was fired by the Indianapolis Colts.
Funny how things turn around so quickly.
And now he's the head coach there.
Yeah.
What do you think of that hire by Indy?
I have no idea what to think of it. What I do know is that everybody in Indianapolis is now saying, we didn't want him anyway. Things happen. Now, I always say things happen for a reason. Josh McDaniels is not supposed to go to Indianapolis.
Sure.
Because Frank Reich was supposed to be the one that took over. Mm-hmm. As then the quote-unquote czar of Indy, Bill Polian, Hall of Fame general manager, Bill Polian said this is the best situation for Indianapolis. What else is he going to say? I mean, you have to support a franchise. I mean, Jim Irsay is a lunatic.
Yeah.
And so they have to figure out a way to get stability. And how many times have we seen teams poach Super Bowl champion understudies?
I think this says less. I have no idea how he's going to do at Indy.
Neither do I.
We won't.
Wish him luck.
But the one thing that I do know is that welcome to the world of being really good, Indy, Philly, because they will start taking all of your coordinators because you won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And, you know, it's in a situation now where, you know, who's he going to take from that staff with him to Indy? Because what happens when you give coordinator leave? He's got a couple guys usually on staff that he says, come along with us and let's go build something great. I'll give you more say and a bigger role with the team. And it happens all the time, and that's the biggest thing that you have to fight when you're a head coach and you're an organization is all those guys that leave. Like Pete Carroll had to do with all of his defensive coordinators leaving. You know,
did you see that? Not to mention Pete Carroll, did you happen to see who Frank Reich is interviewing for his offensive coordinator job?
Oh, he did not.
It might be somebody that used to be with the Seahawks calling offensive plays.
Oh, I heard that in Joe Fisher's update. Yeah. Darrell Bevell.
How about that?
Hey, Indy,
good
get
old boy
ready
network.
Not to run it on the 1 yard line.
Also, too, there are multiple reports that there will be an Andrew Luck sighting, but it might not be on the field next year. Also,
oh my gosh,
just
last week they said that he didn't need surgery.
No matter what, until he steps on the field and is practicing in full pads and competing in a preseason game, the speculation is going to be he might need more
in
time.
That to me is, I think that is the reason why Josh McDaniels didn't take that job.
I think there's more to this. There is certainly more to what's going on the insides of that shoulder. Frightening. No, there is. Would you want to take over a franchise and start over? Don't think you're going to see the Colts do a lot of jockeying and shuffling in their draft days. They will draft a quarterback, be it not in the first round, whatever it be. It will be in the first 3 rounds, and they will have somebody in place other than, I know Jacoby Brissett is there. Yeah. Quality quarterback. Different regime, came from the Patriots, studied under Josh McDaniels, would have been a nice transition, but they're going to need depth at quarterback.
I'm wondering what Jacoby Brissett's contract looks like. I don't know how many years he's going to be there.
Well, he's on a rookie deal still, so they have his rights for 5 years.
Four years, and then
they have his rights for
he's
four.
He's got one more season.
Yeah.
So, because he was a third round pick, so he's not a five year guy.
You have to be a first rounder, but yeah, he'll have his rights for 4 years. So he's got one more year.
Yeah. So I guess you've got him locked up for at least that year, but this is it's not good for Philly to lose your offensive coordinator because it's just one more mind out. I know Doug Peterson calls the plays, but it's one more mind out of the building that you kind of need.
Well, that's going to happen.
I'm with you on the Andrew Luck stuff. I think there's something else. Would you rather be Markelle Fultz or Andrew Luck right now? He's been shut down. 76ers, number one overall pick.
Yeah, his shoulder's destroyed too. Something's wrong with him. It's not just mentally, but this is something that's pretty important. I never had a shoulder. You've had a shoulder injury. Yeah. If you're a quarterback and you have a shoulder problem, you're done. I mean, I know Cam Newton was able to come back this year. He He was pretty smart with it. I don't know if severity compared to how long. The reports are that Andrew Luck played with such a damaged shoulder that he was doing multiple damage to the inside of it, playing through it. Ugh. And getting around it, taking more and more hits and getting the right treatment to make it through the week. I just don't know. I don't know how a guy like that can handle it.
Well, Philly is still on, they're on cloud nine right now because they're going down the road of, I heard Dan Dockage say this on Good Looking Wingo this morning. We want the guy who won the Super Bowl, not the loser.
Yeah, there's that guy.
Hey, McDaniels turns him down, and now you got Frank Reich. So good job. Golf clap. And
it's a jilted lover.
This is a sign for you.
What's the sign?
It's never too late. Frank Reich didn't do anything for 10 years, and then he got an assistant head coaching job, and then 10 years later, he's a head coach.
Do you happen to know what Frank Reich's biggest achievement in sports history for him?
Losing four Super Bowls as a backup?
Orchestrating one of the biggest comebacks ever? No. Frank Reich had a chance to win a big game in Buffalo, but he had some time. He threw some throws in Buffalo. But being a part of that four Super Bowl losing franchise, ouch.
He was Jim Kelly's backup.
He was. That hurt. That hurt.
Well.
It hurt.
Now he's the Indianapolis Colts head coach. All right. Major League Baseball to Portland. This is back, and it's a conversation again. We'll tell you why, because there's a national writer who went out of his way to say, no, Portland's this place that MLB is going to be. Here's Joe with SportsCenter.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
MLB to Portland, it comes up every so often. Last time it came up, it was when it was unveiled that Mike Barrett, former Blazers play-by-play guy, was a part of a group of secret investors.
Dale Murphy?
Trying to court a team. Wait, what?
Wasn't Dale Murphy one of them?
I don't know.
The group that he was with? I'm just speaking that.
Associates that Mike Barrett was speaking of.
Oh, it's happening, folks.
Yeah, and this is legitimate. I mean, it's a legitimate group that's out there. Enter David O'Brien of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who, I don't know why he did this, but...
Didn't have to.
He went out of his way, and for those of you that don't know, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution is a very well-respected news outlet. This is not fake news organization. Mm-hmm. He came out and he said, long-term prediction. If Oakland and Tampa Bay can never get stadium situations in order, MLB will expand to two cities, including Portland, with Nashville among candidates for the other spot. If Oakland or Tampa does not eventually get a new stadium, one of those teams moves to Portland. Friday, it was like, what? Why? Okay, that's a weird thing to say, but...
Just arbitrary, out of the air. Just no reason to do it.
Well, one of the reasons why he said it is because... Over the weekend, the Rays owner was saying, I'm done with playing in St. Petersburg. If we're the Tampa Bay Rays, we are going to be playing in Tampa.
Correct.
And that's a bone of contention with they can't find a spot to play in Tampa itself. They've been Tropicana Field, for those that don't know, is in St. Petersburg. It's not even in Tampa.
Not even in Tampa.
So
be like playing in Salem here, wouldn't it?
I think it's closer, but it's like the New York Jets and New York Giants. They play in New Jersey.
You're right.
It doesn't make sense. So he's saying, no, I want to be in Tampa. We can't draw fans here. We need to make this happen. And this has kind of been, again, the blustering talk about Portland and MLB is, hey, every team that's been rumored to get one has gotten one. Now it's Portland's chance to be in line. And finally, the realization is coming that, hey, there's an investment group that's legitimate now. Mm-hmm. That's been the biggest problem.
I've already picked out the spot. I've already picked it out. I know where the new stadium I would like to go. I'd like to take the horse track away.
Oh, Portland Meadows.
Portland Meadows and put the stadium right there because its proximity is closer to my...
Oh, my, just for your house.
Selfish. I don't want it to go out in Hillsboro on the other side because I want to have... Nobody wants to go over to 26.
Yeah.
Because you want it in the cityscape where it's close. That's a perfect place. Buy that out. I know it's simple. Put the stadium there. Infrastructure, new bridge. New bridge, new infrastructure to get in and out. It's perfect. It's right there, and then we could have summer baseball, spring, summer, and a fall classic in this city. That's the thing. The juices are flowing for me, but I have to ask, how many people would love to have baseball here as a sports town with the Blazers in a one horse town is what we are.
Yeah.
What would you do if you had baseball here?
If you do that.
No, because I know that, but there's some, remember when I mentioned to you NHL or Major League Baseball, what works better in Portland?
Joe, poll question at 1080 the fan on Twitter. Would you be more prone to go to an MLB game or NHL? Which would you support more, NHL or MLB in Portland?
We'll get the crack research team on it.
Because those are two rumors that keep popping up. And with Seattle looking more and more like they're going to get an NHL franchise, that obviously negates Portland as one of the landing spots. But, I mean, me personally, I would do baseball. Are you kidding me? That would be so fun to have a baseball team here. But just as Oakland and Tampa, it's a stadium site and stadium funding that is the big one that this silent investment team is going to have to do, is find a place to build it and
we're
to
gonna,
fund it.
We're going to do a poll. I'm going to make a prediction right here. I'm going to say it's 75-25.
In favor of baseball?
In favor of baseball. I'm just going to throw it out there. I have my biases. I think hockey's a great sport, but for some reason, there's something about what baseball does. You don't see the deep-rooted connection to hockey in our country like you do baseball. I think that's the only swing that you would see why so much. And be it if you had to build a stadium where you had a roof and you had to have a retractable roof, you wouldn't put a dome here because nobody cares about domes. It's gorgeous in the summer. It's plausible that you could handle it. You can financially handle it. The city's growing. It's got tons of revenue. It's got infrastructure that you can redo. Everything would be great about it.
See, but here's the big problem that Portland has.
Here we go. Here comes Debbie Downer.
I know. You need to be realistic with it.
I want to be happy about it. Debbie Downer me. Let's go.
Hold on. One of the things that Portland has that a lot of people around the country don't realize, and I think people in Portland don't realize, is that during baseball season, it rains fewer days in Portland than I think it was like 10 other Major League Baseball cities. Mm-hmm. So everybody say, "Oh, I'll be rained out." That actually isn't true. Like, our rainfall is far more than most MLB cities, but during
you're building a season, retractable roof here.
It will have to be a retractable roof, right?
It's a no-brainer.
So that's expensive.
It's easy. It's about $200 million.
But the biggest problem that Portland has had in an uphill battle that they continue to fight is that Major League Baseball cuts out media markets as maps, and they would have to get Portland falls under Seattle, San Francisco, and Oakland's markets. Like, they overlap, so all three of those teams would have to say, yeah, it's cool, you can have a Major League Baseball team there. And it takes out, but here's where it's a problem, is that those coverage maps, the Mariners, it goes to television.
Yeah.
And if you take away Oregon as part of the television market for the Mariners, that is a big chunk of money out of their pocket.
Yeah, and that's no concern for the Mariners because you're right now you're not producing anything that's successful. So, you know what? Win, and the money will flow. I think that you have so many teams close proximity on the East Coast where there's media markets. I know there's more people on the East Coast than there are on the West Coast. That's goes without saying. But Major League Baseball can do whatever they want. If they want to carve out a media space for the Pacific Northwest, for the Portland area and Northern California and have that in Southern Washington, that's what they're going to do. They're not going to worry about it because it's good for baseball and it's good for their revenue. They're trying to make more money. They're not worried about whether the Mariners are going to be able to keep their contingent of Idaho people liking the Mariners. They're going to do what's best for revenue generation. And if Oakland can't support a new stadium because theirs is a pile of garbage with poop rolling up through the dugouts, then they're going to put it in a place that's going to invest in a city that's going to compete, and they're going to want it here because Portland is prime for that kind of revenue here. Yeah.
And I think one thing that is different now is that, you know, this text on the fan text line 55305 says city government. You know, that's been a big hurdle here locally. But here's the thing that we know the city government will buckle to, and that is support for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, public support and an outcrying of support. I think it has changed a little bit. I think that if you look at Portland and you say the Blazers – amongst the leaders in attendance every single year in the NBA.
Yeah.
The Portland Timbers, the leaders in attendance in the MLS for years. Mm-hmm. I think Seattle is ahead of them, okay? But one of the leaders just because they don't have enough seats.
Sure, and they'd sell out if they had more.
Okay. And then you look at what it does for your community. If the city is not sitting there and fully funding a baseball stadium, if it's a privately funded stadium where you just give up some land and say, okay, it does a lot for your city to have professional sports and people. They will fold to public pressure if there's enough of it. And that was always the problem with Portland, is that the groups that were trying to bring baseball here never put enough pressure on city leaders. And that is one thing that they need to do in this.
Well, whatever legislation wants to do, whatever city council members, the mayor, whatever they want to say is completely, and I'm going to say this because I'm biased, but it doesn't matter. You're wrong if you don't think it would benefit this city. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Everything about that is wrong. There's no reason why the city couldn't sustain it and hold it for years to come, and it would be fantastic.
And almost 20 years ago now was when the first push for baseball happened, and the city was not nearly what it is today population-wise. And then when did the Nationals come about? When the Expos moved from Montreal to D.C. in mid to, like, was it 2006-ish? Somewhere in there. Portland just didn't have a group ready to go and ready to make a big push like that. And now it appears that Ducks are in a line. Mm-hmm. We just need to hope that either Oakland or Tampa can't get a stadium.
And those of it that don't think baseball would work, this region, Oregon, Southwest Washington, around the area, baseball is very, very popular here.
Yes, it is.
Huge. I mean, I go to the tournaments. I'm around it. I know basketball's big. It's great. But you can't – baseball draws. It draws you in as families. It doesn't – I mean, you just have 40,000 stadium. You don't need a big stadium, just under 40,000. It would be packed to the rafters week in and week out there.
I think if Portland were to build a stadium, small would be the way to go.
Yeah. Small is 45 and under, 45,000 and under.
Yeah.
There's no need to go bigger than that.
I'd say between like – if there was a 35 to 40,000 seat stadium, that would be perfect for Portland. It doesn't have to, like, why do you need to build a 50,000 seat stadium?
We're probably have the expansion ability there, but you're probably splitting hairs. I mean, 35 to 45, somewhere in that area. It's not going to be expensive, but if you ever become really good, then your tickets are in demand.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to be able to produce a great product in this city right there. Portland Raceway, easy, lands there. Let's do this.
I like the ponies, though.
Come on. As this one says, we are a one-horse town. Don't get caught up in understanding that I do value what the Timbers bring here. But if we're talking about the core four, the big four sports in our country, and what we do in our cities, right now MLS is years to catch up.
So 555-305. That is a fan text line. Plus, it's time for our Case of the Mondays. What's grinding your gears? Fire them up. 55305. Case of the Mondays next on The Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about?
Monday, Monday.
No, man.
So good.
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A Case of the Mondays. Part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
Just another man.
55305. That is the text line. Let's get the Case of the Mondays rolling. This texter says, my son went to bed this morning while he was laying on top of me. That would be the worst way to start your morning.
Yeah. That sucks. We have kids. We've all been peed on by our kids.
Yes, we
have.
Part of
having kids, like a rite of passage.
It's just waking up that way, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a brutal way to wake up.
That's your problem is you got to send that child back to the bed. And when they come in there and say, Mom, Dad, get back in your own bed.
Get in
you
there.
You wet that sucker, not mine. No, kids coming, but it's hard to say no, because you don't want to let them just jump in and where everybody's tired. That's fine.
Yeah.
Go back to sleep.
Were you a bedwetter?
I was
not.
Did
you have a problem? No, I didn't either. I wasn't a big bedwetter. I always had some empathy for the bedwetters, though.
Yeah.
Out there that did it consistently. Cause a couple times when I was a kid, drink too much water
before
bed.
Of course.
But like It happens all the time. I always felt bad for those kids, you know? Yeah. I mean, that sucks.
My boys weren't. My daughter was.
Yeah.
And then
really,
know,
it's usually the other way around.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. My niece was, and to the boys. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know the studies.
We've really gotten
either
into
way,
something
it's,
here.
Yeah. Dove into that one.
You got a case of the Mondays? What's bothering you?
I can just make something up. I don't.
You don't have anything?
No.
Well, my thing is, I've spent a lot of time Saturday washing the car, and it's already dirty again. You know, don't you hate it when that happens? Because we went up to the mountain on to Tube, and they have all the red rock.
Yeah.
And it just blew all over my car. So I got to wash it again.
I have a question for you and a listener out there, and you too, Joe. When you do have your cars dirty, you know that first feeling when you get in after you've cleaned it?
Yes.
And it's clean on the inside, it's clean on the outside. Mm-hmm. Do you feel your cars faster?
Yes. No.
I do too.
When you step on the gas, it goes.
It feels faster. Yeah. Am I the only one? Is that a weird? I'm wondering, Joe, are you with me on this one? When the car's dirty, it feels slow, clunky, it's not as clean. But when I clean it, it has that new car, or the, you know, I sprayed, feel good, play good. I cleaned with the foamy glass cleaner at Costco. You know what I'm talking about? Foamy glass cleaner.
Exactly,
I cleaned the car with that.
It
smells really good in there. It's really toxic, probably. wash the truck, and then all of a sudden, I feel like it's faster.
I'm sure there's some sort of psychological effect that when your car is cleaner, you believe that the overall performance of the car is improved.
Less aerodynamic drag from the dirt hanging off of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm not weird by thinking that.
No.
Everyone else thinks that too? Okay, I thought I was weird.
It's a clean car. It feels new.
It's like after you get a haircut, when you went out and played sports, how much faster you felt because you got your haircut.
There you go.
What do you mean? I was faster.
Whatever.
I didn't feel faster.
Tom Brady had his hair cut. He played with that long hair that year and lost the Super Bowl.
White shoes, too. Yeah.
Oh, I hate white shoes.
Make you look faster,
hate
though.
Hate them. I know it. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Makes you look a lot faster.
No, it's a false narrative.
No, true. It's a fact.
No, I don't like it.
True fact. Done.
Ooh.
Deal. What?
No, I'm just reading. A couple bad feelings.
It's not good radio when you just say ooh and you don't say it.
Ooh.
My debit card got canceled this morning because of fraud charges, and now I have to get cash out from the bank until I get a new bank card in 2 weeks. That is horrible. There's a special place in hell for people that steal the old debit and credit cards, because it's like, I'm going to cancel them. You're not going to get anything out of them. All you're doing is making me not have any way to pay for anything for a while.
That's frustrating.
And go to the bank. Like, you suck, dude, who steals stuff.
I have a case of the Mondays for somebody that's not me, but I'm in a case of the Mondays for them.
All right.
On Friday, my wife's teacher friend that worked at school where they teach, she went out to warm up her car. Mm-hmm. She warmed up her car, went back in to grab a banana and kiss her husband goodbye, came back out, car got stolen.
You're kidding. Somebody was waiting, was it just a criminal just walking down the street like, oh, look at
who was this? Who's it?
Boop, gone.
See, car's gone.
Does she do that often? Like, does she regularly?
I don't know the details, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that do warm up their vehicles. And most cars now have the auto start. Not most. It's a feature, auto start feature where you warm it up. I use it. But if you do the keys and you leave the keys in and you do the start, we used to do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and
there's a special place in hell for that person too.
There's also a part of that I don't like, that now all your keys have a chip in them.
Oh,
to where you can't start it and then like take off the little manual unlocker thing. And because keep that's off. What I used to do is the little unlock thing that's unattached from the key. You leave the key in, but you close the door and you lock it. Now it won't let you lock your key in the car.
Yeah.
Don't put that feature in for the idiots out there. Let me lock my key in my car while it started, please. Then I'll complain to you when I actually do lock my keys in my car, because your feature doesn't have that. But not right now. Joe, you got a case of the Mondays. What's up with you, man? Cam's got nothing wrong this Monday.
I just said I had mine for somebody else.
I'm pretty tired, not gonna lie.
Joe, did you make it to sleep before noon? I mean, sorry, noon, midnight?
Wow. I did. I'm pretty sure. Yes, I did. Yeah.
You did.
But still pretty tired.
Yeah, 4 o'clock comes fast, man.
Yeah. I was telling you guys last week, I was like, yeah, I've been doing all right. Been waking up. But yeah, I definitely hit that snooze a few times this morning.
I don't believe that this text is real. In Oregon, it's illegal to have a car unattended while running. That text came in.
Is that illegal? That's a law?
Is that a law? Because I break the law quite often. then. 55305. Officers, please text us.
Is there anybody out there that's been enforced to have their car running illegal? If I'm parked in my driveway, I can't have my car running?
No.
It's illegal?
I guess. I don't know. Well, you live in Washington, so no.
It's a good point.
You're fine in this.
Maybe it's Washington thing.
55305. Hey, we got a lot of really good texts on baseball to Oregon. We'll jump back into that because I think a lot of you bring up some very good points about the city of Portland and its feasibility of carrying another professional sports franchise. It's 7:58 on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.